Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. I am one of your hosts, Iggy Garcia.
I am two of your hosts, Mark Mattini.
All right. That's one and two. Makes three, right?
That makes all three of us are here.
All three of us are here. His two fish and my shaman
one
self.
One panda.
Yeah, one panda. I want to welcome everybody to Lunchtime Wisdom, and I hope you had a nice extended holiday. Some people got to enjoy it and just kind of kick back and relax, and others were working their butts off, cleaning house, getting ready for visitors and guests, and others are just had to serve the other people who were off for Labor Day. So just a shout out to everybody out there who got to enjoy it a little bit. And for those of you who worked over the holiday weekend, hopefully you get a nice little break from here. So how are you, my friend?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I'm pretty excited about the start of a new work week of sorts. Yesterday, for some reason, I thought it was Sunday, so I totally forgot about our other lineup show with Insights Radio Show. I totally forgot. I mean, I forgot because I had my days mixed up. Just felt like Sunday. So I want to apologize to our listeners who were trying to tune in and find a show. We'll figure it out here.
Yeah, well, with the holiday and then the Ohio State game last night and everything, it's a little, a lot of things to throw people off on the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but our Buckeyes won, so, or my Buckeyes. I think you're West Virginia. I think you're a West Virginia fan.
Yes, we won 45 to nothing, I believe, 44 to nothing. Oh.
Good, good. They're looking pretty good, too.
Yes, our defense is much improved. Thank goodness.
Good, good, good. Well, today I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about this awakening process that a lot of people seem to be having lately. I've been running to a lot of folks who have are feeling this opening of their heart, opening of their mind, their spirit, and their soul. And the biggest thing that I'm finding is this, that a lot of people, even when they're starting to wake up and when they're starting to see the world in a different way, they're not quite sure and they don't quite understand how to move forward with that. So, because they're still carrying a lot of the old stories with them. And when you start to see things from how you used to see things 3D, now you start seeing things in a 5D version and a different type of things that happen to particular people. I think as practitioners, as people who work with people, we don't necessarily sometimes have, sometimes we don't give the right answers to people. And I don't know if there is a right answer, but I find that, you know, there has to be some way to help channel these people into the right direction. Because if you don't, they just kind of seem to fall right back into the old pattern because it's safe and it's something they totally get and understand. So I think today I'm going to use the word attempt, and hopefully you can help me out with this, Mark, is to get people maybe to find resources and find places and how they would look at things and how they would work on things. Because I find that sometimes they need a little lifeline. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that we need to throw people lifelines from time to time.
Yeah. It's been very confusing, I think, for most, including myself. I mean, to start with, I think it's confusing because there's kind of a lot of different terms and phrases you'll run across out there. Kundalini rising, chakra alignment or chakra balancing, the cool catchphrase the kids use now is ascension. So you can find all kind of articles, blogs, yada, 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 on ascension symptoms and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think this stuff is happening. There is a big awakening process going on. But what one thing that I found is a lot of people are experiencing these same symptoms, if you will. But I found very much that it does not go in any particular order, because I know I have many people I've talked to about this over the last like year and a half or 2 years, and it seems to definitely go in very different orders. I see, you know, there's sleep disorders, change of eating habits, some physical illnesses, your body clearing stuff out, you know, hypersensitivity at times to being around other people, just like crazy emotional bouts. I've seen and experienced many of these things. Allergies changing, interest changing. And it feels like there's, you know, astrologically, I've looked at this a lot too, and it kind of feels that like spring of 2011 is when this really took the upturn, where this really got turned up a notch, and that coincided with Neptune entering the sign of Pisces, which it rules. So it seems like energy downloads is another thing. People feel like they're not sleeping at night, and they wake up and they feel like they've like downloaded information or they've been tampered with. I've, you know, heard and experienced some very odd scenarios. So yeah, it is. It's very unsettling, because it's like, how do you balance this new 3D reality that's coming in, where we're, you know, totally awake, present, in tune, and in touch with everything, but yet, you know, you gotta pay bills, and you gotta go to the grocery store and do laundry and, you know, 3D type mm-hmm. stuff, and it gets very difficult to kind of balance this. I mean, I know people, well, and myself too. I've had this where it's like, I just have blackout periods. Mm-hmm. Like for a while there, I was going to the grocery store, and I realized that like I've been standing in an aisle for 20 minutes. I just, you know, just staring at the macaroni and cheese, and it's like, you know, I freaking left, or I was getting downloads or something. I mean, it's. No shortage of absolute crazy experiences. And I think a lot of people are, you know, at times have experienced, you know, or felt, you know, am I losing my mind? Am I going crazy? And on one level, yes, you are. It's because we're shifting energies and trying to figure out how to balance this new consciousness, this new spirituality, and, you know, different ways of looking at things, and at the same time, you know, still, you know, we have to work and do things to bring in money, and it's just been sure. a lot of craziness. And then there's a lot of good information out there, you know, if you Google, you know, ascension symptoms and things like that, but I also have to say that I've run across there's a lot of, just like in any profession or industry, there's a lot of bad information out there as well, where I think people are just passing along stuff or, you know, trying to make a buck or whatnot. So as with everything, take it with a grain of salt. If it doesn't feel right in your gut, or it doesn't resonate with you, then may not be accurate information.
Yeah. So what Mark has said and what I've said is kind of what's been happening around us in our own little world. I think it's an observation for us as people who work with these type of energies. We start to understand and we start to see it because we've invoked that energy into our lives too, the universal that universal knowledge, that universal wisdom that's out there. And if, you know, some of us have the capability to facilitate it and work with it and, you know, and address it and share it with others. But with these new young, you know, you said the catchphrases, which is true, you know, the ascension process, awakening, all these. It's nothing new, okay? I don't want to say it's nothing new. It's been around, but I think now, since we're in a very deep concern and a very, very fear-based energy right now, that now you're starting to feel these ascension, you know, feelings, or some people call them symptoms. I don't know if I call them symptoms because it makes it sound like it's something that's not right in my opinion, you know.
Right.
You know, you
right.
don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to give it that energy.
Yeah.
I want to give it a better energy, a positive light, you know. But understanding, I think what's happening is that there's different parts of their body that's being affected because it does affect the body and it does share. It hits, you know, you feel it, like you said, you see Kundalini rising. That's your root chakra. That's things that are coming from the earth. That's that grounded energy, that energy that hasn't been grounded. And it just moves on up the list to the gonads, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat, the third eye, the crown chakra, the seven basic chakra points that we're all familiar with, those of you who aren't it. But here's what I'm saying. Outside of these seven chakra points, there's also energy layers that people don't understand that has affected our energy layers that are touched. Energetically, we are also affects us in a good way, positive way, and in a mysterious way. First, you have the physical sensations, and these are the energy layers outside of us. That's usually the first one that's closest to the body, and that's why that's probably we would call that our aura. We see that. The second one is our emotional. With self, we start to feel that energy. You know, we can tell when someone's looking at us. We can tell if something's going on. And then we also have that energy of the rational mind. The rational mind is also that bubble that encompasses us and tries to see the world energetically in a rational way. And then our relationships with others. These are all energy layers, how we can keep people away or invite people in. And this energy is very – these energies are very, very, very part of us as – just kind of like the seven chakras are. And then the other one is the divine will within. Okay, that's kind of the splinter of God that's inside of us that experience, because we are part spiritual, we are part physical, so there's this union between the two. Then we have the divine love. The divine love is further out a little bit, and that's the love that people can sense and see from the outside. And then we also have the divine mind. And so these are the seven layers of energy that I'm familiar with, that I was taught to understand and to work with. You know, if you put it in a little graph, you know, with one arrow going up and one arrow going out and then one in the middle, the one arrow going up is the energy and the one in the middle is levels of gratification and the one at the bottom is peace. And trying to find the harmony within all this, and I think when it gets affected and when people start to feel it, they just don't know how to deal with it. And so I'm going to attempt today, and hopefully, Mark, you can work with me here, to give people ideas, what to do and how to work with things and understand that, you know, what's happening is that you're starting to awaken to your own power. You're starting to waken up to your levels of healing. When you've had enough and you're done, well, the only thing you can do is work on yourself at this point. And working on ourselves can be one of the hardest things, because we actually have to go into deep parts of ourselves, deep-rooted parts of ourselves. And for some people, it's easy to go there. For others, it's not. And, you know, seven levels of healing are, you know, as I've been taught, number one is denial. Number two is self-blame. Three is blaming others. Four is indignation or self-righteousness. Five is just surviving. And then six is integrating the experience. And seven is understanding the serendipity of life. So these are the things I'd like to touch a little bit, and if you have anything else you want to add, Mark, that you think that is relevant to what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I'd say I think those are all good points. I'd say we just go through those, and I'll have something to add in on each of those.
Yeah, okay. So for those of you who are out there experiencing these awakening moments and these things that you've never experienced before, I just want you to maybe just take a moment, just like, let's take a moment right now, maybe just to sit back and just for the next 2 minutes, just relax. I just want you to take a moment, and I want you to breathe in through your nose, and then blow out through your mouth. Breathe in through your nose again. Hold it for about 3 seconds. And blow out. Breathe in again. Hold it for another 3. And blow out. All right, so breathing exercises are super, super, super important, I find, especially when you're going into these new awakening moments. And these are things that I've teach the people I work with, is to understand breathing exercises. Equal breathing, abdominal breathing, these the shallow breathings, nostril breathings. These are things that I have videos on my website. And I think what happens is sometimes we forget to breathe. And to understand that everything that's coming at us, this energy that's hitting us so fast and so quickly, is to sit back and sometimes let it hit you. And let it hit you, and let your body, let your spirit feel it, and then come back to it and address it. You know, there's no reason to be fearful about it or freaked out about it. It may catch you by surprise. It may kind of throw you off a little bit. And the biggest thing that I'm going to tell you right now, people out there listening to this show, when you have any signs of awakening, any signs of being different, any signs of being in a euphoric field, and being in a place of happiness and total bliss, you're going to have your haters.
Yes.
You're going to have your haters, I'm going to tell you right now. And that's something you're going to have to understand, and you're going to have to kind of say and almost expect that. When you're in the happiest places you can possibly be, there are going to be other people who are miserable, and misery enjoys company. And they're going to try to knock you back down into the 3D world. I'm not saying anything's wrong with the 3D world, but I'm going to tell you, this is something to prepare yourself for. I don't know, Mark, what do you think about that?
Yes, I agree. I have lots of clients and people that I counsel, and one of the big things that's happening is people kind of see their 3D reality kind of crumbling. They no longer can talk to their partner or are having very different experiences than their partner. It gets extremely difficult to function at work. They see friends leaving their life and, you know, trying to figure out what the shifts are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happening. It's because we're realigning our chakras. We're trying to feed in this, you know, in this new energy to where we operate in the 3D world still, but with this 5D undercurrent kind of running underneath it, like the water flowing beneath the top of the waves. There's a darker current that's like under it. So what I've found, you know, you just kind of have to accept that when people no longer resonate with you, or a job no longer resonates with you, or anything like that, any kind of circumstance change, then it's, you know, your frequency no longer vibrates with that frequency. So there's going to be changes that come about. But know that there's other experiences and other things that are going to come in and replace those. Sometimes there's a little downtime or dead period between those, and things mm-hmm. can feel very disconcerting for a while. But no, it's just we're clearing out old karmic things, old karmic contracts, old things we've carried over from past lives, old fears. Especially right now, I'm seeing people are having to really confront their fears, and I'm seeing a lot of people with like throat chakra stuff and you know, solar plexus stuff happening, where people are kind of trying to reinvent themselves and how to put their voice out there and find out what their purpose is for being here. And it can be disconcerting for a while. Another thing that's happened is like I've had this, and a lot of people have told me they've experienced this as well, is just, you know, they can't focus or can't get grounded, and they have these eating habit changes and stuff. And so it's like they feel like they're constantly being thrown back and forth. A good thing to do always is, you know, lay on the ground or go outside and put your bare feet on the earth. Things like that can help ground you. And, you know, I've found, like, I eat way healthier than I used to, but I have found that, you know, I try to keep my meat consumption at a reasonable level. But there's times, too, where I need... there's a lot of people that keep pushing the healthy diet, and, you know, and it, of course, that's good. You always want to drink plenty of water and eat as healthy as you can, but sometimes I've found that I really need some, like, heavy foods at times, because, like, I can't get grounded. I need some heavy stuff to kind of help ground me and kind of for, you know, possibly sounding crazy, but to keep in contact with my body, to feel grounded into the 3D reality. Because I know myself and a lot of other people have been having these things where they just feel like they're just way out of, like they're floating out in the ethers. And so any kind of, whether it's food or getting...
come back.
You know, touching, right, because it can get, like, incredibly hard to focus and to function on things. So you'll find at times where you need a lot of space where you can just be out there in the ethers and, you know, have alone, quiet time to process things. And then there's other times where you'll need additional exercise. You'll need to go sit or lay on the earth. And maybe you'll need, you know, some heavier foods that you wouldn't want to eat all the time. But I found that the food and stuff can sometimes help ground us. So yes, it's kind of, you know, you're kind of awakening to a new reality, and your body's going to have very different needs sometimes within an hour of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of... we get very regimented and, you know, very much into, right, into cycles and routines and stuff. It's important to let yourself have room to grow and to be different from how you've been before. And, you know, if you're craving a hamburger, you may need a hamburger to help ground you. If you're feeling, you know, too stuck down in the stuff, then maybe you just, you know, need to eat fruit and vegetables for a day or what, you know. I found that my body is changing almost close to a psychotic level some days. So listen to, you know, listen to your gut, listen to your intuitive voice. If you feel you need something heavy, then eat something heavy. If you feel you need to go out and lay on the ground, then go lay on the ground if you're feeling ungrounded or not in contact with the earth. So those are some of my tips in that area.
Yeah, and you're right, because you know what? There is a temple and there's a spiritual temple as well. And you can't have one without the other, and especially in this incarnation that you're in. As you're living on this 3D plane, this world that you're in, you have to take care of the temple. The temple is super important. The temple of your body, as the structure, the physical aspect of yourself experiencing life, needs to be nourished, needs to be taken care of. And what you eat is important. And your body does crave certain things after it's had it for a certain time. But then there's also a time in evolution in your body when it doesn't want it, and you'll have moments and times where you don't. So that's one of the things that I try to stress, is that understanding that your body is not separate. It's a separate thing, but it's not separate also, because it's also connected with your spiritual side as well. There's a merging of the two. They both have to have each other in order to survive. At some point, we'll all die and go back to the source, and we'll become the energy that we flow through and flow and keeps us. But in this moment, while we're here on the planet, it's super important to understand that your body, and not be in denial about your body, because this is what happens. We're so busy and we're so consumed trying to find the out there and that spiritual connection and that divine love that's out there, that we forget that divine love is within us. We forget that within us is this amazing energy, and then our body houses that divine mind, that divine energy. And so what happens is people become sick. People house pain. You know, they start to create things within the temple in order to hide things and to mask it. And then the energy doesn't flow right. And then we become sick. And then we don't understand why. I'm a firm believer that you can heal anything in a matter of days, in a matter of minutes, even seconds. It's happened for me. It's happened. And then there's some times where it takes longer because I fail to have the trust and the faith and the belief that it will. And then there's some things that, you know, you need help with, you know, with nature, you know, with foods, with plants, laying on the ground. Everything has a purpose on this planet. Nothing's here by chance or by accident. And as a good friend told me, every cure that you could possibly think of that's on, that you need, is on the planet, and it's in the plants and it's in our foods, when we address it properly.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because, I mean, we tend to operate, you know, it's like updating your, you know, you have to update your computer every once in a while. You have to update your virus protection and your operating system and stuff. It's like our body computers are having their operating systems updated. So what may have worked before, or what you may have needed before, may not be pertinent now.
Right.
So, you know, it's like I said, it's important to allow yourself to change. Just like as the people and situations around you may change, it's important to let yourself change. And since, you know, where it's not just like spiritual change is going on, it's like our bodies are changing as well. And some days we just, you know, we need more fuel for our body because it's going through all these transformations and changes. So just listen to what your body's telling you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it kind of moves us into one of the second levels of healing is awareness. And when we start to produce awareness, we start to understand our issues, which provokes, you know, self-blame and anger for some people. Not everybody, but for some, you know, it's felt throughout the body. And it's easy to blame ourselves for the things that we didn't, or we did or didn't accomplish in our lives, or we're not accomplishing in our lives. But I find that while we're on this planet, while we're on this realm, is to not to be so hard on yourself. But so how do you not be hard on yourself? Well, you know, if it gets intense, you know, then you have to kind of figure out a way to relax and to address and to have self-acceptance and self-love for this this self-blame and for this anger and for all this pent-up energy. And those are one of the things that it's easy to figure out what's wrong. But the thing is, how do we move through that energy once we figure it out? Well, if you're having issues with self-blaming and anger, we need to go back into time and figure out where we picked up and where we learned, or who taught us and who did we invite into that space to teach us that anger and teach us self-blame. And that's one of those things, to noticing the pain and moving forward into self-love and acceptance, is to understand that we blame ourselves. We're the biggest culprit. You know, anything what we're telling here is that, you know, it's about ourselves. And anything that you hear today, it's about ourselves and how we address it and how we move forward. So the biggest thing, self-blame. Some people are really good at it, and some people are just figuring out. But once you know how to move through it and how to move through the blame and not kicking yourself in your ass all the time about what you've done, understand that there's going to be times where you're just going to screw up. And that's part of life. That's part of the living. That's part of being human being, to have that experience, to have that spiritual experience, you know, through the physical. Now, holding on to it and keeping it, well, that's what happens. We start to block our meridian points. We start to block the flow of energy. And blaming ourselves is one of the, you know, is probably the biggest thing. We're our hardest critic. I think we're our hardest critic.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's go to a quick break, Mark, and then we'll come right back and we'll pick up where we left off, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
We are back.
I am Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny, and our call number is 646-595-3440. We hope you're enjoying the show, and if you have something you want to share and something you want to just kind of share with the world out there, call us up. Give us a line. And if you're in the chat room, drop us a line. I see several people in the chat room, so hopefully you're enjoying the show. Give us a little heads up. Give us a little note. But just to let everybody know where they can find Mark. Mark can be found on twofishesastrology.com. He has his own website. He does some astrology work. Second part of the show here in a little bit, we're going to hit some astrology stuff. I want to kind of finish up here on the seven levels of healing real quick. Mark, do you want to add anything to self-blame?
Well, I think it just goes back to we get tied up into these karmic patterns and situations with people that sometimes carry over several lifetimes. And so at a point, you can just kind of say, hey, I release this pattern. We've figured out what we need to figure out of it. And you know, just kind of go on, kind of, I release this lesson and I'm ready to move on to the next thing. Because sometimes we can get caught up in these recurring patterns with the same or even with different people, where we'll have the same issues, you know, issues of self-worth or self-reliance or whatnot come up over and over again. So, you know, tell your spirit guides to say, hey, I need this energy to slow down, or I need this pattern to stop, is mm-hmm. another thing to do as well.
All right, so it takes us to the third level of healing. It's blaming others for the stuff that happens to us. That invokes anger as well. It invokes and produces intense pain, and like you said, it becomes in the patterns. It's easy to be a victim, and it also encourages victimization when we blame other people. Yeah, people influence and do things to us in some degree, but the thing about when you start to become enlightened, it's how long you hold on to this energy, how long you value that energy, how much you value what they just told you. Is it super important what they said? Are they validating something inside of you that you're just reflecting back to you, that's mirroring back to you? I mean, I think what happens when people play the blame game or feel victimized, the purpose is to teach us levels of clarity, to understand understand the situation we're in, why we put ourselves in, why there's happening. If you keep getting the same kind of messages over and over, there's something that needs to be addressed. There's something that needs to change. There's something that you have to work on. There's an aspect of yourself that maybe you're not seeing clearly. So when we're playing and blaming other people for our actions, you know, to a degree, yes, you can. To a degree, you can't. At some point, you have to take responsibility. Even if you were victimized to the point where, you know, something was very, very detrimental or something very bad, there's a point where you have to. You know, I'm a person who's been victimized, but I didn't want to be a victim all my life. I didn't want to be there and suffer and use that to be my story, to tell the story to the rest of the world. Oh, this is what happened to me. Woe is me. You know, I could live there, but you know what? I chose not to. And, you know, I encourage people, you know, pick your stories properly. Pick them, you know, that they benefit you.
Right. I agree, because it's, you know, some people, I mean, some people will introduce themselves almost by their wounds. And it's like we can keep feeding into those scenarios and keep recreating them and just feel, you know, people are going to take advantage of me. People are going to lie and steal to me, or lie to me and steal from me. People are going to cheat on me. And we can get, like, you know, wrapped up in those things, and almost not that we're necessarily on a conscious level wanting to create them, but if that's the energy we're putting up there, out there, then I think that's going to, in some circumstances at least, draw to you people who have the abilities to do those things. So when you say, hey, I'm just going to start attracting people that are good for me, or I'm just going to attract loving people around me, and things like that. So you have to kind of heal yourself on some levels. We're always looking for, people are always looking for gurus and masters and stuff to show them the way and whatnot. And I understand, I look for advice and good information and stuff too, but I mean, ultimately we have to be accountable for healing ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we, it's not, like in my astrology business, it's nice to have repeat clients. It's nice to have people that come to me every 6 months or every year or whatnot. But if somebody's coming to me, you know, once a month or something, then, you know, then I would have to look at, you know, maybe I'm not doing something correctly. Maybe I'm not putting out the proper message, because I don't want people that are having to look to me for answers for everything. I'm just trying to show them tools to be able to help themselves and to understand what's going on and to move forward on their own. And then it's cool if they want to check in with me every once in a while, but
sure, absolutely. You
know, right. But I don't want people to feel, you know, like not indebted, it's not the right word, but like they're having to get the answers from me. I'm just kind of trying to show them the scenarios and the energy that's playing out so that eventually they can kind of pick up, even if they don't understand astrology or whatnot, top to bottom, if they can kind of see what's playing out and can kind of understand the energies that are going on, even if they don't know, you know, Pluto's at 16 degrees Capricorn or whatever the heck's going on, you know?
Right. All right, so number four is indignation or self-righteousness. You know, all these things everybody has a little bit of. Some people have more of these. Self-righteousness typically creates muscle spasms and unbalanced muscle functions. There's a level creates a feeling of depression. It provides opportunity for us to allow to move forward, loving, and other learnings to accept relationships. This is what my teacher taught me. So we're giving you the examples. When you're having spasms in your muscles and it's talking about, you know, us being self-righteous better than somebody else and to think that we know more That's something that happens when we start to work into the aspects of self-healing and awakening, is we start to see ourselves a little bit more than the other person. And that can play down on us. That can play a little havoc on us, because depression is one of those things when we think we're in a better place, or we're moving into the right place, then all of a sudden things don't work out. And then we go inward, we go inside, and we start to, you know, depress and go deeper and deeper into ourselves, to the point where we can't even find ourselves. But depression also, when we start to come out of that, is also a way to find the loving aspects and the aspects of other relationships about ourselves with other people, and to invite them into that loving space. So that's number four, understanding the self-righteousness aspect of ourselves. And, you know, a lot of people try to be humble, and a lot of people try to understand. But, you know, we can be self-righteous to ourselves and to our family members. That's something to be with everybody.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's easy. I mean, you accumulate knowledge and stuff, and it does get easy to get stuck in your head and stuff. And it's like, you know, personally, I don't ever want to give the impression that I'm preaching, but I'm just trying to share knowledge that I've, you know, run across, because I travel the road less traveled, so I run across weird stuff that other people don't. So it's kind of a fine line there. Kind of like how the pendulum swings back and forth. It's like we kind of get full of ego sometimes, and then we swing all the way back to the other way to like a depressed state. It's almost like we're like assimilating this knowledge or things that we pick up, because you know, like I got badly misquoted several years ago on something I had said, where somebody took it as I was saying that it was good to be depressed, and that was not my point at all. It is not good. You don't want to strive to be depressed. However, when you get depressed, I feel that a lot of times you're looking at things more clearly and more accurately than you are at other times. So when you get depressed, I think a lot of times it's because you're really figuring something out. Mm-hmm. You're really going deep within and sorting things out. And you're maybe seeing something that needs to be let go, or something that you need to, you know, finish your karmic cycle with. So, I mean, obviously nobody wants to be depressed, but it's a naturally recurring cycle, and I think that shows, you know, when we're really at a deep level figuring something out, and now it's easy to get stuck in that, and to get stuck into a kind of an introverted phase and stuff like that. So it's important to, you know, there's lots of good people out there that are willing to help and talk to people when, you know, stuff's happening. So be sure and reach out to your friends and family if you feel you're getting, you know, too stuck into things. But I think we all get depressed and stuff at times, and I feel that that's better than our society tends to promote self-medication. You know, I know so many people that are on, like, you know, 15 different pharmaceuticals and stuff. And it's like, I think in about 2% of the situations that solves your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe you do have a chemical imbalance or something like that, and you do need medication. Most of the times, I think it's just people's doctors putting them on the, you know, the pharmaceutical wagon, and that's a never-ending ride.
Yeah, so, bad.
I think better than escapism or self-medicating, or I think it's best to try and figure out why you're depressed or up and see, you know, what is it really that's bothering you, because there's often an underlying thing that's been bothering you for a while. And then I think once you really dig down deep and sort that out, then the depression side kind of fixes itself at that point.
Right. And, you know, that puts us in to number five, which is the surviving mode. They kind of go hand in hand a little bit with depression a little bit. Because when you're in survival mode, you're accepting the experience and you're trying to do whatever you can to keep yourself alive in the sense of energetically or spiritually or physically, and to be able to move freely through all this pain that you've created. And so when we awaken, you know, we start to feel these emotions and these survival techniques, because we start to look odd to people. We start to look different. So we start to behave in a fashion that's not conducively familiar to somebody. Somebody's not familiar to, you know, what's happening. So we get ourselves into these little survival modes. And this is why people who actually practitioners sometimes are the most critical and sometimes the most, the ones who suffer the most, because it's kind of how he makes and his kids have no shoes type scenario. You know, he's making shoes for everybody else, but has no time for him, his kids or his family or himself. And that's
right.
Kind of what happens with practitioners a lot. They go into survival mode, and they just live the experience instead of, you know, actually embracing the experience, you know, and letting it come through. So those of you who are awakening to, you know, this new awakening, right now we're just kind of giving you this little bit of the symptoms per se, you know, what's happening and how to move through them. But it's also an opportunity to develop self-truth, our own truth. And, you know, and that purpose is to help us to develop something. In that survival mode, you are forced to find ways to make you function within the parameters of what is happening to you. So survival is, you know, like they say, survival of the fittest. This isn't really survival of the fittest. This is survival of your own personal belief systems, your own personal, you know, understanding of what's happening to you. So when you're in survival mode, you're just trying to figure things out, and you'll do whatever you can so you don't get hurt in the process. So I encourage people to, you know, when you're in that survival mode, is to have an open eye about it, an open heart about just trying to survive. Anybody can survive, but moving out of the survival mode is super important, because we have to move into space, which takes us into number six, and integrating the experience, taking the experiences that we have and integrating them and making them something into a new healing, a new rebirth, something that makes it a purpose of our life to enjoy and to at least have some kind of clarity with. So that way you can move into number seven, which is where we all kind of move to, and we hopefully will move to, is have that divine mind to vibrate into the highest frequency and to be in that clearest place, that clearest light, that point that, you know, that we're functioning and understanding the serendipitous life. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's hard to do that because they're still stuck in the other levels. But once you start to break out of those other levels, you can't help but have a clear opening and a clear function and a clear relationship to others and to yourself. And the biggest thing is to have a clear relationship with yourself. So how do you do this? We gave you some hints earlier: meditation, breathing techniques, finding other people who are like-minded. And that's probably one of the biggest things, finding like-minded people. Because even in our community, we have people who, you know, it segregates itself too. It breaks down into little cliques. You got your astrologers, you got your Reiki practitioners, you got your massage therapists. They all do work together, come together, but they still have their little places they all hang out. I don't know if you found that, Mark, but I kind of seem to find that when I work with different, you know, types of practitioners, different types of energy workers. They seem to kind of congregate to familiar places.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, everyone's got different skills or way that they get their information. But yeah, it does seem like the psychics kind of hang out together and the astrologers and stuff like that. But I think a lot of people are tapping, just like this, take this radio show. There's many people that are listening to this radio show. Some of them are listening on their computer, and some are listening on their phone, and some may be on their you know, iPad or whatever, and some may be listening over the phone. Some may be, maybe we'll download the archive later. So there's many different ways you can get this information, but everyone has their own kind of thing that they, their own frequency they vibrate. Because I know, you know, I know a lot of people like astrology. I know a lot of people where it just doesn't resonate that well with them. They much, you know, they prefer tarot or, you know, maybe they channel things while they're meditating, or, you know, there's I Ching and many, you know, many different ways to tap into the information and stuff that's out there. So, you know, and a lot of times people will come up with the same information from, you know, like on my show recently, I've had two or three different people doing some financial astrology stuff. And they, you know, they use different methods and different charts and different data and stuff that they get it. But you can arrive to the same information just by tapping into whatever your preferred mode of contact is.
Yeah. So my biggest suggestion for people who are coming into the point where they're seeing their lives different in awakening to the spirit and awakening to energy is to maybe just say, hey, I know nothing, you know, and I'm open to all possibilities.
Right, and you know, one of the difficult things too is we try to, we all have kind of a tendency to project or judge a little bit by the way things have, you know, happened before, and it's like, well, you know, things are different now, so they're not going to necessarily play out. What we think maybe was bad before may not be bad this time, or, you know, things may not end up the same, even though it looks the same outwardly. A really poor analogy is I'm in a couple of fantasy football leagues, and they do, all these experts do projections and stuff when you draft your players, and it's all looking at what they did last year, and very rarely are the same player, except for a small handful, very rarely are the same players that were the best last year the best this year. Like, things are constantly changing and evolving, so just because you're maybe undergoing a certain scenario or certain challenges right now, they may not play out exactly like they did before. So, you know, give yourself room to breathe and to, you know, because there are many people awakening right now, and, you know, perhaps people you weren't able to reach before or being able to get to an understanding with, you know, things may play out differently this time. Mm-hmm. So just give yourself the allowance to make some mistakes and to try different things, just with all these different energies out there. Mm-hmm. You may find you get different results.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what the biggest thing is the fear factor. You're able to see fear in a different way when you're in the light, too. You can see it more intensely, or you can feel it more intensely. But you also have the power to experience the fear in a different way, versus, like, you probably would have experienced it way different if you weren't in the light, versus, like, you would probably be panic-stricken, or you would probably be a little... I think when you're in light, and when you're in the awakening moment, and you're in that serendipitous life, I think you can say, okay, that's fear. And fear is part of love, because God created everything, or the creation created everything. So it may be good to some, it may not be good, may not be bad for others. Understanding that fear is not the same for everybody. Your fears are not my fears, and vice versa. So something that, you know, triggers somebody or groups of people may not trigger the other group, may not even come close. And I think that's
right.
What happens with people sometimes when they awake and they're so empathic and they feel the energy moving through them that sometimes they don't know how to say, hey, you know what? It's fearful, but it doesn't have to own me. We try to do all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, we try to, you know, I don't know. I can't give you an example off, but we try to do some type of meditation, or we try to do some type of circle. We try to do some type. And then, you know, I mean, are we actually addressing the fear, or are we actually saying fear is there? Or do we come from it in a place saying, okay, fear, we understand you're there, but we choose to come from a place of love and understanding. We know that the shit's going to hit the fan regardless. And you know what? We're going to adjust, and we're going to and do the best we can, even when it's hitting us. Because it's going to hit us regardless. There's nothing we can do. There's cosmic things that hit us, and there's earthly things that hit us, and there's just nothing we can do about it. But how you experience it and how it owns you, I think, is super important. I don't know how you feel
right.
about that.
Right, because you can feed into that. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, it does look like there are things that are going to hit the fan in the near future. But you know what? It's things that need to be torn down. It's things to not, that need, you know, have been corrupt or not working properly for a long time. So there's some things that need to be broken down and torn down. And it is, we've, I just try to remember throughout any period in history, take whatever, the bubonic plague, the stock market crash, what any of these things, there's people that have survived all those.
Absolutely.
People have survived every cataclysm in history in the last 2,500 years or whatever. So.
Yeah. You're right. And that's super, super important to just tell people, because you know what? You may not be the survivor, but there may be some other people that will survive. That shouldn't be fearful. That's just part of the game. You don't die. See, here's the thing. If you're in a spiritual light, I think if you're a spiritual manifestator, a person who creates this type of love energy, you understand that you don't die. You don't really ever truly die. It's still fearful to pass and move on to the next realm, because you're just going through memories and associations and the people you're going to miss. But you know, we never die. Our energy doesn't die. Our energy doesn't dissipate. It just doesn't disappear. It becomes part of the collective, or we come back again, you know, 1,000 years later or next week or whatever. I don't know truly how it works. You know what? I really don't want to know how it truly all works, because that would just blow my mind open probably. And I think I'm fine enjoying life how it is and the things that I'm experiencing. But there are other brothers and sisters who want to know everything, and that's okay. And that's not here to judge. But you don't die. We don't die. Even if you're a Christian person, you don't die. Even the spirit, you know, that you have inside your soul doesn't die. You either go to heaven or hell. That's their belief, you know. So that means that if you're in hell, that means your soul doesn't die. That means your energy stays alive, and it stays in, it transfused in some type of connection. And when you go to heaven, it's a type of connection, and you're there. And the Catholics believe in purgatory, because half of you wants to go one way, and the other half of you wants to be this way. And so you can make up your mind, we're going to put you right here. And so you can repent and play. So I think there's levels. There's levels of energy that get stuck in places, kind of like any energy. Like when you turn the light switch off, the energy doesn't flow, right? It's still there. It's the potential of that energy is still there at that light switch. As soon as you flip it up, that energy rolls, man, and it turns on your lights or it turns on your computer. So I think that's kind of how spirit works too. When we're ready and when the switches come on, we flow with it. We move with it. So when it's our time to transition into the new world, into the new life, into new places, I think spirit opens up the switch and we flow, we go, so we don't die. That's how I choose to experience it, you know, in a fun, loving way, goofy way. You know, I'm a spiritual light switch somewhere.
Right. I mean, even mainstream science, physics says that, you know, energy cannot be destroyed. It can only change shape or form. So, you know, our soul, our spirit is energy.
Yes.
It can't be destroyed. It only changes shape or form and comes back as something different.
Yeah. So there's a lot of potential. A lot of potential. And then whatever belief you house in your mind, manifests that and moves your energy into a certain area. And that's why I have a mind of, you know, whatever happens really truly happens, and, you know, we move wherever we need to move. Neither thinking of heaven or hell, because I don't want to think of my life as one or the other, you know, duality of sorts, you know. I'm either good or I'm bad. Well, I have good days and bad days, you know. I have good moments and bad moments, and I have good experiences and bad experiences. You know, I'm not always in one at any given time. And then somebody else's
right.
version of good is their bad, and my bad is their good. So, you know, at what point do you actually say, you know, what's good or what's right or wrong? It's kind of it's a person by person thing. I think it's something that you have to experience individually, something you have to feel, you know, what ticks you off may necessarily tick me off. You know, what makes you happy doesn't always necessarily make me happy. So the levels of understanding and the levels of, you know, belief in the systems that we create in our minds, you know, that's why we have a lot of control on what happens to us.
Yes, 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 I agree. And it is, we can't change all the events that are coming or happening or whatnot, but how we interact with those energies and how we interact with those events, we can change how, you know, the outcome and how we deal with it. If something happens, it may be frustrating or upsetting at first. I mean, if we sit in focus on that frustrating or upsetting part, then that's the imprint that's going to leave.
Right.
Whereas if we look at it as, hey, this was a needed change, or this opens a door to something else, then you've totally flipped what was a, you know, potentially difficult experience, and you've used it as a learning tool to you know, to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Like, one of the first things I do when I'm in a session with somebody, almost within 2-3 minutes, I ask them, you know, hey, when's the last time you danced? When's the last time you sang? When's the last time you went out hiking? When's the last time you did anything for yourself? You know, when's the last time you thought of you, you know? And, you know, I can guarantee you, almost every time, people are like, oh, you know, they look at you like, oh, you know, like, have that look on their face like, wow, you caught me, you know, or you got right to it. No, I didn't get right to it. You just, you know, you can't stop living, man. Even
yeah.
when the shit's going bad, you can't stop living, man. You can't.
Right, right, right. Because that's when you stop and overly analyze things or get stuck in stuff, then that's when maybe it would not have had that bad of an impact. Then maybe the impact actually worsens then. So it is. You roll with the changes, so to speak, and keep going, because there's other stuff right around the corner, good and bad.
Yeah, yeah. So let's take a quick break, and then I want to come back and have you hit a little bit of some astrology things that are coming up. I think we spoke on the spiritual side of things, and I think I want to hit a little bit more on the astrological points of view. Okay?
Okay, sounds great.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia from our Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe here with Mark Matheny. And myself, you can find me at iggarcia.com. That's iggygarcia.com. I'm open for readings. I'm open for shamanic sessions, coaching, consulting, all the above. All my information can be found there. I'm also on Facebook. And Mark, where can people find you?
You can find me at www.twofishesastrology.com. And you can find me on Facebook and at mysticnirvana.com. And, yeah, about everywhere. You can find me. Yeah, you can email me at twofishesastrology@gmail.com. And I believe I will be giving a class next Saturday at Mystic Nirvana, or this coming Saturday, I guess, since it's Tuesday already. And then I'll be giving a lecture Sunday the 20th at the Universal Life Expo at 4:30. And I do not have a booth this year, but I will be giving a lecture on the Sunday there. And then we'll all be at Ash Cave on Sunday, September 27th.
Yeah, I'll be in Missouri on September 19th through the 20th, 21st, I think. I'll be going to the Great Council of the Nemenha.
Fantastic.
All right, let me put this segue on real quick, and then we'll roll right into you. Ready?
Okay.
All right, time for astrology with Mark Matheny.
Okay, so this should come to surprise to no one that the energies are very intense out there, and they will continue so through the end of this month. I'm going to indulge my nerd side for about 30 seconds and just read you off a bunch of stuff, and then I will try to put that into a digestible format. Or maybe I'll give you the Cliff Notes version as I go along, actually. So, okay. On September 1st, last week, Mars was exactly conjunct Venus. Both, that means they were at the same degree of the same sign. So they are not conjunct now, but they are very close together. This means that Mars and Venus are both in the sign of Leo, and they're working very closely together. Leo is very exuberant. Leo can have to do with self-creativity, ego, pride. Mars is aggression, anger, kind of individuality, courage. Venus is beauty, love, relationships. Also how we comfort ourselves and take care of ourselves, how we nurture ourselves. A lot of those things have to do with Leo, or with Venus. So just how that's kind of playing out is we're kind of seeing Leo kind of rules drama, too. We're kind of seeing more drama in our relationships, in our interactions with people, kind of feeling a creative need to kind of break out a little bit. So mm-hmm. That's happening. There's some other things working counter to that, which I will get to. So this past Saturday, September the 6th, at about 4:30 in the morning, Venus, which had been retrograde, moved direct, which means Venus is now going forward. So if you've had wherever Leo is in your birth chart, any blockages in that area should be moving forward. So for everyone, maybe finances, relationships, things like this that have maybe felt stuck or where we felt introverted, these should start, we should have the opportunity for these to start moving forward now. So okay. Hopefully if... see some positive movement forward in some areas that maybe have been stuck for a little bit. Okay, on September 13th, we have a new moon, new beginnings, and a solar eclipse, and that's at like 2:41 in the morning. That is this next Sunday. solar eclipse. This is like an eclipse is like a hopped up full moon. So there's usually a lot of energy attached to a solar eclipse and a new moon, and it's in the sign of Virgo. So again, this should give us some energy and some push forward on new projects. The thing I'm really seeing a lot, because we're getting a big influx of Virgo energy now, is I'm seeing people really having to spend more time on their day-to-day life, their day-to-day activities, which is Virgo sixth house stuff, and also having to pay more attention to their health. If you've been not eating properly, not drinking enough water, or not taking proper care of yourself, focusing too much on helping other people, then your own health may be having some issues right now. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you're then there to take care of others. On September 17th, this is, I'll just say, September 17th through 27th is action-packed. Jupiter is in Virgo. It will be exactly opposite of Neptune. And that happens at just before 3 o'clock in the morning on September 17th. So Jupiter is long-distance travel, big picture, philosophy, higher learning, education. Neptune is our intuition. Our mystical side, our secret side, the part of ourself that we keep, you know, hidden. Neptune is also spirituality, psychic abilities. So if this is hitting in your chart, and Jupiter will be at 7 degrees Virgo and Neptune at 7 Pisces, you can expect, if this is hitting exactly in your chart, you should expect big jumps in psychic ability. Imagine ability to imagine new realities, new creativity, being able to manifest and envision what you want for your life. Those are all energies that will be favorable at that time. So also on the 17th, Mercury, which has been direct for a while, will go retrograde in Libra. So that will be we've talked about Mercury retrograde at other times. Just double check your communications, confirm appointments. Hey, are you going to be there Thursday at 5 o'clock? Right, just double checking this event is still going on. If you're due for carb maintenance, maybe get it done before the 17th. Just little things like that. Make sure you're also clearly communicating your thoughts. If you mean no, don't say yeah or okay. That's another one of the messages when Mercury's retrograde. Make sure you're communicating with yourself. If you're not communicating honestly with yourself, then how can you be communicating honestly with other people? Mm-hmm. If you do want to do something, don't say no or I don't care. Because then the message comes out, no, or you don't care. If you really want to do something, say, hey, I'd really like to do this. I know that this all sounds stupid, but these are common mistakes. So, still, on September 17th, this is our third major event in a less than a 24-hour period here. Saturn is going to re-enter Sagittarius. Saturn has been retrograde in Scorpio, and it has been there for a long time. Saturn is at 29 degrees of Scorpio right now. It's going to move into Sagittarius for 2.5 years. It'll be there starting September 17th. Saturn right now is at the last degree of Scorpio. This is telling us, we're not really being asked anymore, is telling us to, you need to deal with your fears. You need to deal, what are the limitations in your life? What's the bottom line? What do you need to succeed? What do you need to be happy? What do you need to open up your chakras that are blocked? How do you, Sagittarius is about expansion and reaching more of the world, reaching more people. But Saturn is about patience and discipline and making sure that we have crossed our T's and dotted our I's. So for the next 10 days or so still, Saturn is asking us to look at our limitations and our fears and do something about them.
Uh-huh.
What are things not right financially? Well, what can you do to fix them? What can you eliminate that you don't need anymore? What solid structures can you put in place to help you get to where you need to be financially or spiritually or in your career, in your living situations? So that's a big shift there. So then we get have a small break there, and then the September 24th through 27th is going. If you need some energy to get you going, and you need some energy to change and get things going, the universe is giving you all of it that you could possibly ever need or want in a couple day period. So on September 24th, Mars goes into Virgo at 10:18 in the evening. When Mars enters Virgo, Mars is very energetic and courageous. Virgo is analytical, attention to detail, fix problems. Not a lot of patience, really, with Mars or Virgo. You will have additional energy and the ability to change and move and correct things. And Mars will be in Virgo for about 2 months. Okay, so then also we have, on September 25th, we have Pluto making a station. That means it's changing directions. Pluto has been retrograde or introverted for the last several months. It's going to start moving direct. Our evolution can move forward. We can make pushes forward. We can take all this internalizing we've done and put it outwards into more forward things and see actual results out of things now. There's been a lot of pissiness and introversion and irritability and stuff. So
yep.
Hopefully with this, with Saturn moving out of the last degree of Scorpio, Mars entering Virgo, Pluto stationing, hopefully this, we will have sorted out at this point and be able to let go of some of this stuff and start. It's felt very kind of stagnant and like things not moving forward and not moving correctly. The end of this month, we have this energy to start moving forward again and to start putting changes into place. Also on the 25th, that evening, Mars is exactly square Saturn. Mars is the warrior. Saturn is the status quo. Mars square Saturn. What's holding you back? Who's holding you back? Who's putting limitations on you? What areas in your life are putting limitations on you? Mars gives you the warrior mode to break free out of any things that are holding you back or any situations that are holding you back, any people that are holding you back. Mars gives you that warrior instinct to break some of these cycles. And then on September 27th, we have a full moon and a lunar eclipse. Again, an eclipse is like a full moon, you know, on steroids. So we actually have a full moon and an eclipse, and it's at 4 degrees Aries. So again, this follows up. Aries rules Mars, so Aries has that warrior mentality. People are very frustrated and irritable and kind of depressed right now and going through all kinds of changes and shifts and everything. we're at the last clearing out spot of this. We have a tremendous amount of energy coming our way starting September 17th. September 17th through September 27th and past that even, but in that 10-day period, you're going to see the energy with everyone shift dramatically because everyone out there has some of these, one of these big aspects is going to be hitting in just about everyone's chart that's alive. Maybe not all of them, but at least one or two of these are going to be hitting in everyone's chart. So there is a huge, huge vibrational, energetic shift in energy coming up the second half of September. So, you know, it is September 8th right now. All this, and again, with the planetary stations and stuff and these big aspects, you start feeling them normally a week in advance, sometimes further. So right now we are walking towards the door. We are, you know, dusting the last few pieces of dust off of us and a bunch of this old karmic baggage, and we're walking towards the door. We're moving our hand towards the doorknob, getting ready to turn it. So whatever is holding you back or is really frustrating you right now, then that's some really big karmic thing you're working on. And so if you can get rid of that now, if you can come to grips with that or do what you need to process it, there is a tremendous, tremendous energy shift coming really very shortly. So that's kind of what's happening.
Yes.
So it's a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah. Let's just zap it away. Right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're almost to that magical moment, like we always are. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, hey, everybody knows it's rough out there right now. The energy, I gotta tell you, the energy for the next year and a half is much different than it is now. There is a huge influx of Virgo and Earth sign energy coming, and it'll stay here for a year and a half. So things are, wherever you're stuck, envision what you want that situation to look like instead of what it is now, because the energy is coming very shortly to change it.
Very good, my friend. So I want to say thank you for tuning in, everybody. We do have a show on Friday, Martha Rabbit Hole. You have any guests that night, that day?
Yes, actually, the annual Mothman Festival is coming up the same week as the Universal Life Expo. So this Friday I have Susan Shepherd as my guest. She is one of the world's leading experts on the she actually lives in Parkersburg, I believe. She is one of the world's experts on Mothman, Indrid Cold, Men in Black. She speaks and lectures at the Mothman Festival every year. She, all throughout the Halloween season, she does guided ghost tours of Parkersburg. She is featured extensively in the great documentary The Mothman's Photographer by Andy Colvin, who's also actually from Point Pleasant, I believe, and another of the biggest Mothman experts. So she's going to be my guest this Friday, and we're going to she's actually interviewed some of the living witnesses of some of these events. So should
nice.
Be a fantastic show.
And, yeah, I'll be gone in a couple weeks. I'll be out of town. But then we have Mutto at midnight. Follows up later on in the evening with you guys. And, yeah, just rolling right along and having a good time here on With Insights Radio. I hope you enjoyed everything today. And those of you in the chat room, I did put our information where you can find Mark and our information, GiggyGarcia.com and TwoFishesAstrology.com. That's where you can find us. I hope you enjoy the show. Drop us a line. Let us know. Send us an email. Keep in touch with us. And tell us what you would like to hear. If you liked what you heard, and if you didn't like what you heard, tell us the same way. We like to know. We need your feedback. We need your feedback.
Yes, feedback is good.
All right. And I guess with that, I'm going to say arrivederci. And
Okay, have a great week, everyone.
All right. Take care, folks.
Okay, ciao.